Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't make it in person, we always have our live stream at 9 a.m. The live stream is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and join us. If you miss all those, well, you can always go to our YouTubes, which are found at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and you can watch any of our services or just our weekly children's messages or our Sunday messages. We here at the Seed want you to grow in the love of God and come to know God's love so that you can go out and sow seeds of faith. We're doing a little series here at the Seed called WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? Well, remember a few years back when they had WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? So I've titled this series WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? I've been studying during the year. My curiosity was piqued when I read my Gospels and studying those words, and I found those words, follow me. Follow me. We remember that years ago we had that WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Well, now I'm going to say, what would Jesus say? And he would say, follow me. As we journey to Christ this year, I encourage you to pick up your Bible and read a chapter of a gospel a day. Read one chapter of a gospel a day. Matthew has 28 chapters. Mark has 16 chapters. Luke has 24 chapters. And John has 21 chapters. If you read a chapter of a gospel a day, well, you'd be really close to being able to read through the four gospels by the end of the year. If you can't read a chapter, read a half a chapter. If you can't read a half a chapter, read several paragraphs or a section. See what Jesus is saying to you. Let us turn to our first reading here in the Gospel of Mark. And before we open God's Word, let us come to the throne of grace in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. You call us to come and follow you. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, arms and feet ready to follow and serve where you call us to go. May your words be life to our weary souls. Amen. Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20. That'll be our passage for today. Listen for God's word. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. And for they were just fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their net, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20. There's a retired minister and author. His name is Bob Russell, and he told the following account to illustrate how Christians often go along with the moral pace of those around us, and that by comparison, we feel safe since, well, quote unquote, everyone is doing it. Therefore, we're okay. Russell writes, quote, 2 months ago, my wife and I were visiting our son Rusty and his family. One day, Rusty was test driving a foreign-made car and was frustrated because he couldn't figure out how to change the speedometer reading from kilometers to miles. That evening, he suggested we take the kids and all go out for ice cream. We'll need to take two cars, he insisted, so you and Mom just follow me. And I followed him and was surprised when a policeman whizzed up behind us with his lights flashing. I couldn't imagine he was after me because I didn't feel like I was speeding. And besides, I was going the exact same speed as the guy in front of me. The officer came up to my window and said, "Sir, you are going 58 miles per hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. What? But wait right here. I'm going to deal with the car in front of you, and I'll be right back." When he went to my son's car, Rusty quivered. "Officer, I know this is going to sound like a line, but this is the first day I've driven this car, and I can't figure out how to change it from kilometers to miles, so I had no idea how fast I was going. The guy behind me is my dad, and he doesn't know what he is doing either." Wow. Let me set the stage for the context of our passage. Sometimes we're following people and we don't know where they're going. We don't know how fast they're going. We don't know what direction they're in. Mark does not give us a lot of information. We are told that after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee. And while Jesus is in Galilee, he goes about proclaiming the good news. The good news is both from God and about God. This good news is the gospel that brings forgiveness, mercy, restoration, reconciliation, renewal, and resurrection and new life. The people had been longing to hear such a message. Jesus, just like, well, today, we long to hear good news, don't we? There's a lot of bad news out there. We all long to hear good news. Now, those around Galilee at this time did not only hear about the good news of forgiveness, grace, restoration, reconciliation, and mercy, but they actually encountered the one who was able to deliver it. How we long to encounter the risen Christ and let Christ speak forgiveness, love, grace, restoration, reconciliation, and mercy into our lives. Follow me. Well, those are the key words to note. The first thing that Jesus proclaims is good news. Jesus is the good news. But Jesus challenges them with these powerful words. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come." God knows where you are. God knows what you're facing. God knows your fears, your doubts, your guilt, your shame. God knows the struggles. God knows where you are, and God knows what you're facing. God knows the time to show up and speak into your life. Just like he knew the time had come for Jesus to speak into the lives of the early disciples. And he said, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is near." What Jesus is saying is that the time for God to rule and reign had come. Wow, that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful act of surrender to allow Christ to become our ruler and to reign in our hearts, our homes, our places of work. Jesus is in Galilee saying the time has come. And then he says, "Repent and believe the good news." Repent means, well, to stop walking in one direction and turn around. Repent means to have a change of mind and heart. In an article titled, "Whatever Became of Repentance in Christianity Today," Mark Galli writes, on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther is said to have posted 95 theses or questions or disputations on the power of indulgences on the door of All Saints Church. Professor of moral theology at the University of Wittenberg was proposing an academic debate about indulgences, the practice of doing good works or offering money in order to remove punishment for sin. Luther was disturbed by how indulgences encourage people to pay for forgiveness rather than repent. Let me say this again. What Luther was saying is he was upset about why people would pay for indulgences, pay for these indulgences for forgiveness rather than repent. Instead, Luther argued our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said repent, willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. That is hard to swallow today as it was then. We are not the first to notice how absent the theme of repentance is today. Harl Mininger's 1988 bestseller, Whatever Became of Sin, could have easily included a sequel, Whatever Became of Repentance. Galley notes that repentance is unpopular because we're addicted. We're addicted to justifying our own actions and pointing out the evil in others. Wow. Does that tell us what's going on in our society today? If I really looked at my own self-centeredness and pride, Galley argues, I'd have to admit that I am a hypocrite and a moral failure. He concludes, aren't we all? That's precisely why Jesus came, to save the world from itself and to save us from ourselves. That's why the word repentance is usually connected to the phrase good news. As Mark in the Gospel of Mark highlights in his summary of Jesus' early preaching, repent and believe the good news. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repent and believe the good news. Not only is Jesus calling the people to repentance, Jesus is calling them to believe in the good news. This may be the only place in Scripture where we are told to believe the good news. The Greek word Jesus uses for believe, it's an interesting Greek word, and I love to read it in the Greek. It's a present active imperative. In the Greek, it means that this is a command. An imperative is a command, and the action of commanding is believing, and believing is the action. And it's nonstop, ongoing, continual believing, no matter what. Believing in the light, believing in the dark, believing in the joy, believing in the sorrow, believing in the happiness, believing in the sadness, believing in the difficult times and the good times. Believe. To believe in the Greek culture was to place your trust, to rely on, to have confidence in, and to put your faith in what Jesus had said. Not just once, but every day, every hour, and every minute. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're calling you to come and follow Jesus and believe. If you need special prayer, our prayer team here at The Seed would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Write your prayer. If you want a response, you can mark that. We'll pray for you. We have been seeing some wonderful blessings and miracles in prayer. So we're asking if you want to have some prayer, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on that. To believe in the Greek culture was to, quote, place your trust, to rely on, to have confidence in, and to put your faith in what Jesus had said. Not just once, but every day, every hour, and every minute. So what? Hear the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. The time that God will rule and reign, the time that Jesus will have supremacy in our lives is at hand. The time has come for us to change our minds, turn back, to turn around, to change direction. Our purpose, well, it's a preposterous idea, maybe, is for all of us to hear Jesus calling you to turn around, to come back, to change your mind and follow him. Now, I'm not saying if you're driving, turn around. I'm saying turn your thoughts around, turn your actions around, turn your life around. Stop walking in the darkness and turn to the light. Stop walking in sin and turn to grace and forgiveness. God is a God of grace and forgiveness, and Jesus says the time has come. The time has come. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In the days of Jesus walking around the Sea of Galilee, we need to understand the amazing and radical call of Jesus. During the days of Jesus, the rabbis, well, the priests of the synagogues, would come to town, and they would choose the best and the brightest of the young boys to become their disciples. Then they would take them and train them and educate them. The boys who were not chosen would go into their father's business and work. Well, we can assume that Peter and Andrew and James and John and, well, the rest of the disciples, they were not among the best and the brightest students because they were working in their father's business. Jesus comes walking along the shore and calls out to them, "Follow me." The Greek word for follow is opiso, opiso, O-P-I-S-O, opiso, and it means to come after or to come behind. To follow in Jesus' day was to accept and follow the leadership or guidance of a person, which usually literally meant walking or following behind. So now I always say, put yourself in the story, and then put the story in you. Put yourself in the story. You have grown up in a little fishing village called Bethsaida. Bethsaida in Aramaic and Greek means house of fish. So you've grown up in this little fishing village. You may have made a trip or two to Jerusalem, but you most likely never traveled far from your home. You had no hope of doing anything greater than working in your father's fishing boat. Listen again to Jesus' words. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. What a radical, what a profound statement. What a radical message. Let Christ rule and reign in your life. Repent and turn around. Change your mind, your heart, and your dedication. Believe and keep on believing. Never stop having trust or faith in God's good news. What a radical call. And then he says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. It calls for radical obedience. Enter into this story. Those fishermen, they were untrained. They were uneducated. They were fishermen. And they were now being called to follow Jesus. They had not traveled very far in their life. They weren't world-renowned citizens. They had most likely never talked about much other than what was happening in their little fishing village. And then along comes Jesus, and their world is turned upside down. History tells us that John became the bishop at Ephesus. Peter went to Rome, and Andrew went as far as the borders of Russia. By following Jesus, their hearts had been enlarged to take in the whole world, and not just the four corners of this little town called Bethsaida. Mark tells us that immediately they left everything and followed Jesus. A radical call, well, it demands radical obedience. Immediately means, in the Greek, it means what it means, at once, without delay, without hesitation. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your fears are. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know if it's a health concern. I don't know if it's a relationship concern. I don't know if it's a work situation. I don't know if it's a family situation. And I know that we all are struggling to see hope and light in our world. And this message that we have in Mark 1 today is a powerful message because Jesus comes and he says, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Remember, the kingdom of God is near. It's right here at hand. It will pierce your darkness and bring light. It'll shatter your hopelessness and give you hope. It'll break through your sadness and fill you with joy. I don't know what you're facing, but I know the one who can heal you, and his name is Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And then Jesus comes along, and he sees Simon and Andrew, and he says to them, follow me. He says to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, follow me. And immediately, without delay, they left everything and followed Jesus. They turned around, and they started following Jesus. My prayer as we go through this What Would Jesus Say series, that you're going to hear Jesus speak to you. You're going to hear Jesus speak words of love. saying, I love you, I created you, I knit you together in your mother's womb, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I knew your unformed substance, and all the days of your life were written in my book. I know you, I formed you, I've called you, repent and turn around. It's not too late. You haven't gone too far. It's time to turn around. I pray that you're going to hear the words of Jesus in this series say, follow me. As we begin to study our fall series, I want us to hear the words of Jesus as if they were spoken to us. I want us to hear them anew and fresh each and every morning. I would suggest that you take those words, follow me, and put them on your mirror. I would suggest that you take those words, follow me, and put them on your computer somewhere. I suggest that you take those words, follow me, and make it your face ID on your phone. What does it mean to follow Jesus? That's what we're talking about. How can we follow Jesus? Follow me. Remember the story I began with Bob Russell and his son Rusty? Rusty had no idea how fast he was driving. But Bob knew exactly how fast his car was going. He was going 58 and a 45. But see, Bob had decided to follow his son Rusty. That's our choice. Do we follow what the world is doing? Or do we follow what Jesus is asking us to do? That's our choice each and every day. Are we going to follow the Rusties of this world that maybe are going too fast or going in the wrong direction? Or are we going to follow Jesus? Let's start with the Gospel of Matthew. I encourage you, take one chapter a day. Matthew has 28 chapters. Start there. Pick up the Gospel of Matthew. When we read God's Word, we have light and hope and redemption and forgiveness and grace and truth and love. If there's something that you don't understand when you read the Word, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. I'll help you understand God's Word. My prayer is that you will understand God's Word as we grow in the grace of God and come to know the love of God and sow the seeds of faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I say start with the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't want to start with the Gospel of Matthew, turn to the Gospel of John. There's 21 chapters, I believe, in John, and you could read a chapter a day and grow in God's grace. Let's see where Jesus is calling us, even begging us to say, follow me, follow me. I know that God is speaking to some of you, and he's speaking today, follow me, turn around, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, believe the good news. That's what he's saying. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for your words of life found in the Bible. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us again of your hope and your love and your grace and your forgiveness. Help us to follow you. Help us to turn around. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, our church would gladly mail you a Bible. You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com and I will get you a Bible. I'll get you a Bible and I'll put God's words in your hand. If you don't have a home church, we invite you to come to our church. But if you can't come to our church, I'll help you find a church in your area where you can grow in God's love and God's grace. Know that God loves you and so do I. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.